You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Authors seldom choose to make angry, unlikable women the protagonists of their novels, but that's exactly what Claire Massoud did when she put Nora Eldridge, a bitter, unmarried, and childless 42-year-old elementary school teacher, at the center of her latest, called The Woman Upstairs. Miss Massoud's choice of the unhappy and unreliable Nora Eldridge as her narrator has generated a lively discussion in the press about what readers look for in female characters and what kinds of female characters are acceptable in modern literary fiction. This is Claire Massoud's fifth novel. Her fourth, The Emperor's Children, was a bestseller and a contender for the 2006 Man Booker Prize. The Woman Upstairs is published by Knopf, and I'm very pleased that it brings Claire Massoud to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thank you for having me.
I would ask you to read from the beginning of your book from Nora's opening rant, but we'd have to bleep out some of the language. Did you enjoy writing that angry rant?
I did. Well, you know, did I enjoy it? I don't know.
Is it kind of liberating to have some character do that for
yes,
you?
Yes. It certainly felt liberating, and I think in every way writing Nora felt liberating to me. I was not even aware of how I was not even aware until I sat down to write her the constraints that I had unwittingly imposed upon myself.
But she has such a strong voice. Did that come to you fully formed, as some writers have told me their characters do, or is this something that you had to develop?
No, that opening just came, you know, came in one sort of rush, and then you know, I had to figure out whose voice was coming through my head and what I was supposed to do with it, but certainly that opening just came by itself.
You launched a discussion about the very purpose of fiction with your response to a question during a Publishers Weekly interview in April. Weren't you asked whether Nora Eldridge was a woman that you'd want to be friends with? Was that the wrong question to ask you?
Well, I think it's personally, as a reader, it's not a question I ask. So I think for me, and this is what I said to the interviewer, I think the question is always, is this character alive? Is this character engaging? Is this character interesting? I don't even really know what likable means. If you think in life, the people we love, we love them. We don't question whether they're likable. And the people we don't know, or the people who don't know them, don't necessarily like, you know, they aren't immediately like, what does likable mean? What does it even mean?
Do you think that you would have been asked that question if Nora were a man or if you were a man?
Well, I have since been told of various, you know, numerous instances where men have been had that question put to them. But I don't think it is a matter of routine in the same way at all. I started to wonder whether, in fact, male readers don't expect to identify with their characters so much, whether there's some gendered component, you know, from a reader's point of view. I don't know.
Well, looking back at the history of the novel, there have been any number of unpleasant male characters and
from
crazy
the beginning
ones
till now.
have memoirs, Confessions of a Justified Sinner, in which this very unpleasant character gets crazier as we go along. And there have been a lot of Dostoevsky writing Notes from the Underground. But do you think that we are less comfortable with a woman who is angry in that way?
I do. I think in some general way, in life as opposed to literature, I think anger is not generally an acceptable emotion, but women's anger is a particularly unappealing or frightening or repellent thing. People do not want to see women's anger. And I think in fiction, there isn't a tradition in the same. I mean, there is a tradition of male misfits having their say, and perhaps not the same tradition.
Or men inventing shrewish women, but
yes,
not necessarily making them their narrators.
Right.
So did the lack of angry women in literature, was that a factor in your decision to write this book?
Yes, absolutely. Notes from Underground is a book I read as a teenager and loved. I felt it was exhilarating and exciting to me, the idea that you could say these things, speak this way, that you could have a character who was so unacceptable. And all my life I've loved that sort of character. Thomas Bernhardt is one of my favorites. All his characters are super grumpy. Yeah.
Well, a few years back, 10 or 15 years back, a novel in which a man dismembered women caused a huge sensation. A number of women quit the publishing house when it decided to publish it. Now, I'm forgetting the name.
Is that American Psycho?
Yes. American Psycho. Yeah. But interestingly, the film version of it was directed by a woman.
That is interesting. I didn't know that fact. But at the time when that novel came out, I was working on the women's page of The Guardian in London. And I remember my boss saying, I need to read this book. And I said, it sounds so awful. Why, you know, what a terrible story. She said, I need to have an opinion about this book. It was. I mean, I think it was something that was interesting, and people felt they needed to engage with this.
Did your editor or your publisher express any reservations
about American Psycho?
No, about this book.
About this book. I think you know, we did have a conversation about knowing that Nora would not be everybody's cup of tea.
One of the reasons Nora is angry is that she feels invisible, and you've called your book The Woman Upstairs. Does Nora feel hidden away, out of sight, out of mind?
Yes.
Emotionally, anyway.
Yes. I think she feels that she is that who she is in her heart or in her head, in her mind, is not at all, does not correspond at all to the person that the world sees, and that she has a mask, an accommodating, pleasant, charming mask on for almost all of her life. And what's interesting, when people say she's not likable, I want to say, no, if you met her, you would really like her, because this is all what's inside. This is not what's coming out.
And she tells us up front that she's angry, but not crazy. She's not the mad woman in the attic of Victorian literature. But as the book progresses, we sometimes have our doubts about how clearly she does see things. Would it be more accurate to describe her as an unreliable narrator?
You know, somebody asked me this question the other day, and I was thinking about it, because of course she's unreliable, but I don't think she's more unreliable than any of us. Each of us only has our own experience to go by. We have a certain number of puzzle pieces, and we try to make a picture out of the puzzle pieces that we have, but it's always an incomplete set. And sometimes we have, you know, we're always trying to make ourselves relevant to whatever story we're telling. She's unreliable in the sense that she's misperceiving things or misconstruing things, but she's not unreliable in the sense that she's making stuff, events. She's not making up events. You can trust her on that.
I've always been curious about how the word mad came to mean angry. I'm mad at you. Well,
right.
Mad means crazy, and angry means angry.
Right. It's an interesting, but what are the limits? You know, that's one of the, she asked at one point a question, what are the limits of what's crazy and what's not crazy?
Well, she is well liked. She's a third grade teacher in Cambridge, Mass, who's always played by the rules, and she feels that she has very little to show for it. Has her life turned out very differently than she had hoped it would when she was younger?
Well, I think yes, it has. She says early on, if you had the yearbook, you know, my old yearbook, if they'd asked where I thought I'd be at this age, you know, I thought I'd be an artist with children, you know, with a studio and a beautiful garden and some dogs, and you know, I mean, and it's not that her life is terrible. She has a great life in lots of ways, but I think for her it's the discrepancy between this fantasy that she had of and this impulse to create, this desire to be an artist, and the fact that she's not been doing that.
To some degree because of her mother's pressure.
Right. Well,
and her mother, who also had similar regrets.
Right. And one of the things that I think, you know, there are many things that went into making Nora for me, but one of them is Nora's basically of my generation, and she's a year or two out, I think. But my, you know, my mom was 37 in 1970 when The Female Eunuch came out. She was 37, living in suburbia with two small children, and she'd already made a number of house moves in order to support her husband's career. And the idea that she was going to take the reins and go with it, she would have had to chuck it all over. She would have had to leave her marriage, you know, possibly leave her children. You know, she was in principle a feminist, and in practice not able to be one.
But it's difficult to be an artist under any circumstances because it often means sacrificing making a living.
Right. And that's one of the things that Nora's mother says to her. Whatever else, you must be financially independent. And I think that, you know, that if you grow up seeing what it means to be a woman who is not financially independent, you do appreciate that that's a very important component of having any sort of independent life.
Didn't you know you wanted to be a writer when you were very young? You were given a typewriter for your sixth birthday, and you have been successful. Does that make it easier for you to think about this than writers who may have really had to struggle?
Well, I think...
Was your mother worried when you declared that you were serious about being a writer?
You know, I think both my parents were excited that I had such a strong passion to do something. I think they were very worried about how that would pan out. I'm still worried about how that pans out. You know, I mean, it works while it's working, and then it doesn't work. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't really actually feel very. I don't feel as though I'm very far from Nora in some way. I've had a lot of good fortune and positive reinforcement. I've been very lucky, blessed, fortunate, whatever the word you want to use. But I've been very lucky. But the distance. I know many talented writers who have not had that same good fortune. They're not different from me. We're in the same enterprise. We're engaged in the same thing. We have the same passion and the same commitment. But certain circumstances in life or obstacles of various kinds have made it harder for them to certainly spend as much time writing as I've been able to spend.
My guest is Claire Massoud. Her latest novel, The Woman Upstairs, published by Knopf. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but Nora... recounts how her life changed when she met the Shahid family, who had moved from Paris to spend a year in Cambridge. You have made them, you brought a Lebanese-French family here. What led you to make them Lebanese rather than just French?
Well, actually, Serena, the mom, is Italian. They come from Paris, but she's Italian and he's Lebanese. And I think... At some point, Nora says, I was in love with the whole family, but that doesn't mean I love them as a family. I was in love with each one of them. And each member of the family, including the son, gives her something that she is looking for, that she wants. And those are different things. And
she develops crushes on all of them.
Yes, on all of them. And Serena is an artist, and that's something they share. They rent a studio together, and they have conversations about art and so on. But Skandar, the husband, who is Lebanese, he opens her up to. They have long walks together, and talk about things. He talks more, than she does. But he opens her up to a sort of a worldliness that she. Had an awareness of what's going on in the world and thinking about ideas and politics and so on that she had, she might have done in her youth that has sort of dropped away from her life, in her late 30s.
So. He's treating her as an intellectual equal.
Right, which I think is exhilarating and liberating. I mean, that's what, you know, when you started by saying she was bitter, she's bitter. The story is told in retrospect, and she's bitter because she feels she's lost so much when everything is over. But the time in which she spends with this family is a time of discovery and excitement, and she isn't all bitter.
But she also crosses boundaries.
She does. She makes some bad choices. But don't we all? You know.
And that's what... That's the stuff of literature.
Right.
Your husband, James Wood, is a novelist and a book critic for The New Yorker. Do you work out problems that you encounter in the process of writing? I'm talking about in both sides, because he's also written novels.
We talk about stuff. We talk about stuff. You know, when we're walking, we have two very slow dogs, so we have very slow walks. We don't go very far, and sometimes we talk about things more. I think I ask him when I'm finished to read stuff, and sometimes along the way I ask him to read it. But then in the beginning, I just really want him to say keep going, rather than give criticism. But really, Mostly it's when it's reached some state of being in the world, and then, you know, it exists, and then we hash things.
Not when you've hit an impasse.
No, not so much. No.
because we read of other writers, Joseph Conrad is saying, I'm going crazy. I don't know how to finish this book, calling up Ford Maddox Ford and saying,
tell
me what to do.
Right. How wonderful that, you know, but that could get, I feel, seeing as he didn't live with Ford Maddox Ford, I don't think, I feel it could get messy. You know, if you feel afterwards you've made the wrong choice, then you could blame your spouse. That would be bad.
When you started writing, you wrote out your novels longhand on graph paper notebooks?
Yep.
Do you still do that?
Yep.
Why is that the preferred method?
It's like Pavlov's dog. You have something that you're used to, and that's sort of how I think in some way. It's a particular way of thinking, if that makes sense.
Your last novel, The Emperor's Children, was named Best Book of the Year by the New York Times and the LA Times and the Washington Post when it was published 7 years ago. This one, The Woman Upstairs, is already on several bestseller lists. So that is, I'm assuming, encouraging you to start another one?
yes. Well, but to get back to not being different from Nora in some way, I would start another one anyway. I think that's the thing, is people who are making art in their garage or their second bedroom or who are writing novels, you do it because you can't not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Claire Masood's latest novel is The Woman Upstairs. It's published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you very much.